what's going on in Portland.
Yeah.
And I had a local something that we could do right here, and that is every time there's a deadly force used by the police, the headlines are always the same. They say the officer has been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation. That means that whoever killed a person can go home in their bathrobe and watch The Price is Right and continue to get paid. There's a thing called leave without pay. If you use your sidearm and you kill a person, I think you should be put on you should be suspended without pay.
Well, that's a good point, and I think we need to look at what is normally done. I mean, not only are the cops given this, you know, this very careful velvet glove treatment, but the cops that killed George Floyd and all the killer cops are allowed to go through this grand jury process. And that might sound scary, but a grand jury is actually a group of people who decide whether to charge on a major crime, a capital crime, and it's set up, it is so rigged for police. The prosecutors, the same people who have, you know, who work with the police day in, day out, will set up a grand jury process, and they basically bring in people and create Stockholm Syndrome in these sequestered people on the grand jury. They frighten them, they tell them the only choice they have is very specific, and they have this whole rigmarole they go through to frighten, you know, a majority of white, usually entirely white, people into going along with a no bill, with not charging the cop. That's how they do it. So it's important to watch the grand jury process. It's important to know, especially as a white person, you can use your privilege in the right way by getting on those grand juries and knowing in advance that they're going to try to bamboozle you, and that all you're really doing is deciding whether it should go to trial or not, and making it go to trial no matter what. That would be a very good use of white privilege. If you get called in on a grand jury, say yes, go in, watch what they do, watch how hard they try to define the issue so that you can't say, and watch how they act like they're just going to be so pissed and you're going to be in so much trouble if you say that it should go through to a trial. And yet it must go through to a trial. This is what happens every single time. This is how it works.
Here comes the theme music.
Yeah, sounds like we've gotten to the end there. All right, so stay tuned because we're coming up on Per Fogring's show, and I think that you'll want to listen to every minute of that. You're listening to KBOO Portland, going out to you via 90.7 FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Okay, this is Per Fogring. I think I'm on the air with Fight the Empire, and lots of interesting news. The other day, last Sunday, Susan Rice was a foreign policy advisor for under President Obama, and she gave an interview with Wolf Blitzer, and she said, actually, she blamed foreign actors for stirring these all these massive protests all around the world over the police murder of George Floyd. But Susan Rice sort of blamed these protests for what she called, quote, foreign actors. And this is kind of amazing. It was apparently not a very long interview, but she said, "I'm not reading the intelligence today or these days, but based on my experience, this is right out of the Russian playbook." And so this is Susan Rice, who is National Security Advisor to President Obama. She goes on to say, "But we cannot allow the extremists, the foreign actors, to distract from the real problems we have in this country that are longstanding, centuries old, and need to be addressed responsibly." And the very supportive Wolf Blitzer responded, "You're absolutely right on the foreign interference." And then he asked Rice if she thought the Russians were attempting to embarrass the U.S. by promoting the racial divide in our country. And Susan Rice says, "Well, we see it all the time. We've seen it for years, including on social media, where they take any divisive, painful issue and they play on both sides. I would not be surprised to learn that they have that they are funding it in some way, shape, or form." Well, this is very interesting. That to me, this is, well, for one thing, a CIA person said that what she said, there's no evidence for what she said, and it's just speculation. But it just seems to me very weird thinking. I mean, when you go back to the video that the whole world has seen of these four cops killing George Floyd, as if that isn't enough to stir people up, that they need some kind of little extra burst of of truth or whatever, you know, from foreign actors. I just have to say, this is weird thinking. The video itself, if you've seen it, it is horrifying. And this should be enough to arouse any person of conscience. And you have to wonder, is this what top advisors, what top presidential advisors do? Is this the way they think when they advise the president? It's very interesting at the same time that Susan Rice put in her two cents on what's going on today. There's there is talk that she is sort of in the running as for Joe Biden's vice presidential running mate. So you have to wonder, is Susan Rice angling for the vice presidential slot? And if she is, does she see blaming Russia as some kind of a plus? I mean, to me, it's just it's kind of ludicrous. But are there people, and are there people in high places in Washington who think that blaming foreign actors for what's going on is some kind of a plus? If people want to call in with a comment on this, the number is 503-231-8187. What do you think? Do you think with all the nation seems to be unraveling, do you think that foreign actors are having any input into this or not? It seems to me that the nation is unraveling really on its own. Its own past is catching up. You know, we keep forgetting that that our system put Donald Trump in the White House back during the campaign before the presidential campaign really got going back in 2016, our media gave him a lot of free publicity. This sort of the novelty of this so-called reality show star running for president, the media sort of relayed every stupid thing he said, and so he was really out there in the world as far as people watching a TV. There is Trump spouting some more nonsense. So our media gave him a lot of free publicity, thinking, I guess they thought that he was sort of a sideshow, that he would never make it into being a serious contender. And then they woke up and they found out that, by golly, he was. All of a sudden, that with all this free publicity and all the other things going on in the country, that people were looking at a clown like Donald Trump with interest. And so, we have an economy that rewards billionaires and kind of screws the rest of us, for which, kind of a bipartisan effort in Congress in Washington. I might also remark that in 2016, the lesser evil strategy failed. You know, the lesser evil is when you have two bad people running for office, for president, you vote for the one who is the least worse. And in many ways, Hillary Clinton was the least worse compared to Donald Trump. She looked okay for a lot of people. And so that is, in essence, that is what the lesser evil strategy is. But it failed. Hillary Clinton got 3 million more popular votes than Donald Trump did. But Donald Trump got the votes that counted, the ones that are in the Electoral College. So this is a failing. This is sort of part of our system. The Electoral College has been part of America's electoral system now for many, many years, and that is what got Donald Trump elected. When you consider that, when you see that our system put this man in the White House, made him president over us, the so-called most powerful person in the world, it makes it very hard for Americans to claim that our system of democracy is sort of the most advanced in the world. You know, it obviously isn't. If our system puts a guy like Trump in the White House, there's really no way you can claim that it ought to be emulated by anybody else. It ought to be avoided like the plague, as a matter of fact. But that is where this Russiagate thing sort of came in. You know, it wasn't our system that elected Donald Trump. Putin did it. Problem solved. And we keep ignoring evidence. The whole Russiagate thing is kind of falling apart, although some diehards still believe in it. If any diehards out there listening to this, please call me, 503-231-8187. Do you believe that the foreign actors are sort of responsible for all the turmoil, kind of the revolutionary outbreaks going on in this country? Give us a call at 503-231-8187. So getting back to Russiagate. We keep ignoring the evidence of a leak from an inside job of the Democratic National Committee. The Russiagate narrative is that Russians kind of hacked into the DNC computers, and they got this information, and then they turned it over to WikiLeaks. But the evidence, which as far as I could see has never been contradicted, comes from William Binney. William Binney was NSA for 30 years. He was their technical director, and he is saying that going from the evidence, the evidence of the emails, emails themselves, that it was leaked, not hacked. He bases this on the time involved. That in short, that there was not enough time, according to the time signatures on these leaks, there was not enough time for it to be hacked. It had to be leaked, and so that is the evidence given by William Binney. Now, this has been ignored. If somebody wants to dispute it, that's fine, and argue it out and see what we can figure out. But William Binney's evidence has been ignored by the people who keep proclaiming that the Russians did it, the Russians hacked it, and this is to me, this is very disturbing that that real evidence is ignored and just kind of as though it never happened. We might realize also that the leaked material was true information. It was not lies, as far as I know. It was true information. It had to do with evidence that the Democratic National Committee kind of set aside Bernie Sanders' campaign and favored Hillary Clinton, and it also included the her speeches. She made a lot of well-paid private speeches to Wall Street big shots, and so what she said was revealed. And this is stuff that voters have a right to know about. So not only was the DNC material leaked, but it was true information that we should know. So another interesting thing is that when this came out back in 2016, an outfit called CrowdStrike, which was hired by the Democratic National Committee, it normally, in a case like this, the FBI would take possession of the server and analyze it sort of forensically, see what evidence they could come up with. But in this case, that did not happen. The FBI never did take possession of the server. CrowdStrike kept it, and they did their analysis and gave a report to the FBI. Very unusual. And now it comes out that the head of CrowdStrike, a man named Sean Henry, back in 2017, he gave testimony to the House Intelligence Committee, which is chaired by Representative Adam Schiff. And at that time, this is back in December of 2017, Sean Henry said, "We don't have the evidence that this material actually left the servers."
Perry, we have a caller.
We do have a caller on the line. Hello, you're on the air.
Kathy.
Hello? You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hi, Perry. I wanted to say that regardless of, you know, whether maybe there might have been some Russian Facebook posts or something that helped aggravate whatever was going on, you know, that's a distinct possibility. But, you know, I think we can all recognize that the position of the black community right now is certainly one to justify extreme outrage on the level that it's on. But setting that aside, the real question is, what do we do to go forward? And I just read an excellent article about getting rid of police entirely, and that seems like a, you know, gosh, you know, can we possibly do something like that? I think it's possible, but of course we need to have some organization that fills the roles that we actually want the police to fill. You know, as a woman, I like having, you know, somebody to call if somebody is threatening with me with violence. Okay, that's a good role. You know, and we can think of many good things that police do. On the other hand, just the incredible amount of violence that police are doing at this point, you know, it just really needs to be rethought. But then if you're going to get rid of the police, then you also need to think about, you know, the jails. There's a whole movement on to, you know, do away with the jail. I mean, I would say rethink it. Michael Moore's Where to Invade Next movie talked about jailing in Europe, which is humane, and having a humane jailing system is something that would be a wonderful thing in this country, except for one thing. Guess what? If people enjoyed the idea of going to jail, that wouldn't really be a deterrent to crime, would it? Because our whole system is set up with this sort of, you know, fear, you know. So then we're back to the police. And why? So we're talking about just rethinking everything. And, of course, this is a wonderful time to do it with so many people off work. But I think my proposal is, if the progressive community in general really took a serious look at this idea, who are the police? What do we want them to do? What do we not want them to do? Let's rethink the whole organization, the police, the prisons, the jails, and the whole fear-based mentality that seems to be underlying this whole thing. The article actually I read was talking about how our present police system is really a follow-up of the original police system in America, which was based on slavery, catching runaway slaves. You may know more about that than I do, but I thought, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, right?
Well, it does. Yeah. Do you have? Tell us where this article? Who wrote the article? Where it can be found?
You know, I was gonna look it up before I called, and I looked at how little time I had. I wanted to make sure I got in the queue. If there's time, I'll look it up and call back with it. Or if not, I will send it to you via email, and you could maybe post it on your website. Yeah, that would be a good thing, because it was a great article. It's the second one I've read. Based on that theory that was very well thought out. And at first I'm like, well, no, the police have really helped me in the past, so I don't want to get rid of them entirely. But no, there's some very serious thought on this topic that's very good in various places. But like I said, I'll send you the one I read.
Well, I really agree. You said it very well. I think, yes. I mean, the police, you know, they are supposedly are here to protect us from, you know, predators and violent people and everything. But in many cases, as we see from videos, that the police can be just as predatory and violent as the people they're supposedly protecting us from. And so, yeah, I think we really do need to rethink the whole concept of policing. Maybe it's... I don't know. It's a real tangle, because you keep hearing that, like here in Portland and probably other cities too, that there's a shortage of police officers. There's not enough decent people are applying for the job, and I'm not sure what to do about that. I think maybe there's something about the whole setup that we need to go to some sort of community policing, where a community can protect itself and it sort of make that a sort of a more codify it, so that there are you know, rules and regulations, how communities can protect themselves. I think that's the way to go. And what the caller said about jailing, that is true too. Our jail system seems to exist not to rehabilitate people or set them on a kind of a better path, but it seems to be designed to crush them down even further and punish them severely. And it's basically that the people come out of prison worse off than when they went in. But to me, this is a kind of a losing structure, that when you take people who are having problems living in the community and you put them in a system that makes them even worse off, this is a downward path.
We have a caller.
We do have another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Per, this is Harry. Thank you for taking my call. Earlier you were talking about the Russiagate or Obamagate, you know, mm-hmm. just the way of the Republicans trying to throw everybody off, considering what happened. And I think one reason why they do it, because I don't think Nancy Pelosi should impeach Trump again on the Mueller report. Mueller said in Congress, does this report exonerate President Trump? And he said no. And there's enough there to impeach him again. And I'm hoping that Nancy Pelosi will do it in about a month or two. It doesn't have to do with evidence or anything like that. Just a straight vote, yay or nay, and send it to the Senate, because you know what the Senate's going to do. So this is controlled by the Republicans. And another thing is the emoluments clause.
I think that's a better ground for impeaching. I can think of all sorts of reasons to impeach President Trump. To me, the whole Russiagate thing is the weakest of all. It's just the whole case kind of falls apart. And so I would impeach him for,
The Mueller report, the Russiagate is the Republicans are doing a Russiagate. They're trying to blame the FBI and stuff like that. And just to throw, you know, blame away from them, because the Mueller report, that's an impeachable cause right there. And don't forget the emoluments clause is because President Trump has spent $133 million traveling from the White House to his estate in Florida. You know, because the Air Force One, all the security has to happen. $133 million just to play golf on the weekends. You know, that's good enough to impeach him.
Well, that's why I say so. I think Russiagate thing falls apart. The when I was talking about CrowdStrike, the president of CrowdStrike gave testimony to the Intelligence Committee, saying that there really isn't, the evidence is not there. There's suspicions, but not evidence. And this he said this back in 2017, and the Intelligence Committee kind of sat on this for over 2 years. It finally was revealed just recently. And so, if the Democrats want to push Russiagate to get Trump out of office, I think it's going to backfire on them. I think it may reelect Trump. That's the worst thing about it.
Oh yeah, true. Something else happened last week that didn't get too much news was they were redoing after 9/11 and they found out that your website, I mean your browsing history, isn't safe. The federal government can go to your internet provider and ask to see your browser history. And they were trying to make that so you could have a you have to have a warrant to do that. But it didn't pass because Bernie Sanders didn't show up, and also the senator here in the Washington state didn't show up. They only needed one vote for it to pass, and it wasn't there. And,
oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah, I found that out. Only a couple of stations mentioned that, and mostly progressive stations, but it was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize you should get a VPN or something like that, because the federal government just can ask for it, and of course they're going to give up your web browsing history. So
okay, well, I want to thank you for that call. It's getting near the end of the show.
You have a nice day.
I would just like to say, kind of in wrapping up here, is that, you know, is just watch the news these days. You can just see that our nation is kind of unraveling before our very eyes, and to blame this on outside forces seems to be a huge mistake. We are unraveling on our own because of the things that have been built into our system over many years, and to try and blame it on outside forces is—it's not only is no evidence for it, but it's kind of it takes our focus off what needs to be done. Obviously, our whole policing setup needs to be rethought. We have, and this has been going on for years and years and years. It's finally kind of reached a tipping point where people see a brutal murder right there in public, and they're reacting to it. But this kind of stuff has been going on for a long, long time, and we need to face up to that. So it looks to me like this is the end of our show. I want to thank people for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.